Now that the Office of Management and Budget has put flesh on the bones of the Trump administration's plan for government reform, the obvious question comes up. Can, in fact, the government run efficiently with so many fewer people? My next guest asks, if that's true, where's the evidence? Bob Tobias is a professor in the Key Management Program at American University, and he joins me now. And Bob, you've been kind of skeptical of this from the beginning, haven't you?
I have been skeptical, and the April 12th memorandum you're referring to only made me more skeptical because it told agencies to immediately begin planning and implementing the $54 billion reduction in discretionary funding in non-defense agencies, which is a 10% reduction, and without any reference to anything else. So start cutting the workforce without consideration of anything else. So as you suggest, where's the data?
And of course, you mentioned too that it's the 2018 budget that they're trying to design for, or maybe even 2019, because they've got still six more months to come up with those final reorg plans.
Correct. Now, what's very interesting to me is that the president, seems to me, has this assumption that there are too many federal employees without any real data or any real data analysis. And OMB Director Mulvaney made it clear when he said, it's no secret that the president thinks we can run the government more efficiently with fewer people. And I would suggest that thinking is not a substitute for data gathering and data analysis. Thinking a reduction in the workforce is needed is not data that proves a workforce reduction is needed.
It's often cited the fact that the federal employment level is roughly the same as it was in the Kennedy administration, which was half a century ago.
That's
and
correct.
There was a rise there, but then during the Clinton administration, it came back down to those levels, 2.3, 2.4 million people, depending on how you count. But the government does a lot more than it did then. And so the difference...
It certainly does.
The difference
it certainly
is,
does a lot more. And I think even more importantly, Tom, is that we're working in a much more complex environment. The problems are more complex, and the solutions are more complex. So to say automatically we need fewer federal employees, I think, is a real mistake. And Director Mulvaney also said, "Well, we're going to start from scratch." I can't take him at his word about starting from scratch if I'm already directed to reduce the federal workforce. And if I were starting from scratch, I wouldn't cut the IRS funding by $200 million when it produces $7 for every dollar it spends. I mean, if I'm a businessman, I don't cut my revenue-producing agencies.
Well, the difference between now and a long time ago, perhaps, it were two differences. One, the contractor workforce has ballooned enormously, probably tenfold, and then the introduction of automated systems, computers, has made a difference. So could those possibly be the trajectories by which they'll get more done with fewer people?
Historically, technology and additional contractors have been hired to offset federal employee reductions. During the Reagan administration, there were some cuts in federal employees and a dramatic increase in contractors sitting in the federal employee chairs. It wasn't hiring special expertise because the federal government didn't have it. It was supplementing the federal workforce with contractors, paying more for those contractors because of the limitation on the number of federal employees that could be hired. That doesn't make economic sense at all.
We're speaking with Bob Tobias, a professor in the Key Management Program at American University. And on this idea of starting from scratch, I mean, doesn't that 14-page memo from OMB have some elements of the National Partnership for Reinvention of Government that was launched under Clinton and Gore, which eventually, once it started rolling out, got a lot of support from federal employees?
Well, the real difference between what President Clinton did and what President Trump plans to do is that they spent the Clinton administration spent the first year exploring what needed to be done and analyzing what needed to be done, and didn't start out with the idea that there needed to be a $54 billion or 10% reduction in the non-discretionary defense spending. So I think there wasn't a hostility to federal employees in the Clinton administration that I think we see with the Trump administration.
Well, I guess we'll have to see how that one rolls out. In the meantime, suppose as an agency manager, you are asked to take a look at everything and see how you would devise this if you were starting from scratch. Not a bad exercise, you know, academically anyhow. What is the best way to go about that, do you think, to determine what your real employment requirements are?
The memorandum does say what the agency should look at. It says that, you know, when you start from scratch, that you ought to look at whether or not what you do is duplicated somewhere else, whether it's non-essential, which is not at the core of the agency's mission, whether it should be performed at the state or local level, it's not justified by the benefits that are provided. So they did provide some guidelines, but all within the construct of achieving the 2018 budget reduction goals.
So they put the conclusion before writing the novel, you're saying?
Exactly. Exactly. If you're a person who wants to go to the last page of the novel, this is the OMB memo.
Some of those ideas, really, you have to have Congress's approval if you're going to cancel a program or consolidate two agencies. That's not something really within the executive branch discretion. Other things, though, duplicative processes, wasteful, I don't know, furniture that accumulates around these things over the years. I would think that the best source of ideas there are the employees at the ground level who see this
Absolutely.
Stuff day to day.
As you suggested, the Clinton administration included employees, included federal employee unions as an integral part of the effort. And there's certainly no focus on that with this administration.
A lot of the effort of, it was Al Gore really led that, was on procurement reform, because someone showed him the technical specifications that the GSA issued for an ashtray, which seemed emblematic of all the crazy rules and regulations about buying ordinary things that were unique to government, and they started to strip away a lot of that. My guess is maybe in procurement there are more things that can be stripped away. It's like kudzu. It has a way
no
of coming
question,
back.
There's no question, Tom, that the federal government can be more efficient and more effective. It can have better business processes. It can more effectively use its technology, and it can better engage its employees to increase productivity. And those goals should be aggressively pursued, but they're not going to yield a $54 billion saving. And they don't automatically, and they won't automatically result in a decreased workforce. So that's the objection that I have.
Bob Tobias is professor in the Key Management Program at American University. As always, thanks for your perspective.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
We'll post a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.